This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
You're listening to the latest edition of Truth That Transforms with Pastor Bo DeFrana.
God loves the world from the sense of He created it. Every man, woman made in His image and likeness. And Satan's sin and death have come in there and marred that relationship. And that is why God sent His Son, is so that all people, if they would believe and place faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for what He's done for them, can be rescued from sin, rescued from death and destruction and all of that. So evangelism, telling people that, is still the strategy.
Did you know that there are thousands of keystrokes behind the code that allows you to save a document on your computer? It took someone a lot of time and effort to make that work. Yet it's such a simple concept. Click save, and it's stored. In today's message, Pastor Bo teaches that a great deal of time, effort, and suffering went into Jesus rescuing mankind from eternal death. Yet it's so easy for you to take advantage of. Simply believe that Jesus is Lord over your life and follow Him. Now, here's Pastor Bo. As he begins his message, the way of the Lord disturbs people. Push to notify.
Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 19. And the title of my message is, listen carefully, the way of the Lord disturbs people. Did you hear that? It does. The way of the Lord, the message of Jesus Christ, it does. It disturbs people. And so we need to understand that, and I'll walk us through that through the life of Paul and his ministry that we're going to study. But here's the second part of that title, push to notify. All right, the way of the Lord disturbs people, push to notify. And you'll understand more as we go along. But turn, if you would, to Acts 19, verse 21. So we're used to seeing do not disturb. One of the first places I think about it is in my phone. It's like a setting I can set. Do not disturb feature on our phones. I think we're used to seeing do not disturb signs on hotel room doors. To tell cleaning staff to come back later, you know, we want more sleep, you know, like do not disturb. Today, it feels like most people are physically awake, but walking around sort of with an anti-social, I could say, do not disturb t-shirt on, just because of how socially and relationally awkward we have become due to the smartphone. And video games and screens, just in general. Spiritually speaking, all lost people, people who are not in relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, are wearing, if you will, work with me, a do not disturb shirt. They're just in a spiritual state of do not disturb. Really, that is the condition of their soul. Just leave me alone. Do not disturb me. They're spiritually asleep, spiritually in darkness, and the message of Jesus Christ, well, it can and it often does disturb them. It disturbs them by awakening them to what is their actual spiritual condition. And that's a good thing. It stirs that up because it's the truth of God that comes into their life and brings clarity. And when that comes, it's ultimately going to lead to life. There's going to be a transition from death to life as a result of the power of Jesus Christ at work in the lives of people. Now, Acts 19, 21 through 41 that you've turned to, it is an excellent passage showing the reaction of the world to what has been called in the book of Acts, the way. The way. That's what Christians were called in the early church time period of the book of Acts that you're reading there. Christians were called at first just people of the way. So that tells us two things. It comes from when Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me, Jesus said. That's a very bold statement, declaring himself to be God and declaring himself the only way for all people to come to know God is through him. It also does another thing. It tells us that as people who became followers of Jesus Christ, being known as the way, sort of being given that label, tells us that Christianity is, at its origins, a movement. It is a work of God's Holy Spirit on planet Earth in the church. And it is known in the Bible as a group of people who are called people of the way. The way. That's what Christians were called, and it's still applicable today because it's also speaking about a path that you're on. Are you on the path following after Jesus Christ, or are you on the path of the world, which ultimately leads to destruction? And so the way of Christ is what they were called. Now, it's interesting because this passage shows us the reaction of the world to people of the way when the message of Christ is then applied to their do not disturb lifestyle, which I'm going to start flipping that term around and call it dead and dark, because that's really what someone is who's lost, is spiritually dead, and they're in darkness. Additionally, this passage serves as a very strong reminder to all of us as God's people, all believers who are in Christ, that we'll also suffer persecution in this world, even as the same way our Lord suffered persecution. We can expect to experience that as well. Now, I think we need to start seeing the DND, the do not disturb sort of signals that people put off to us, not as do not disturb. I want to help us shift our perspective on how that people communicate that. They're communicating do not disturb, do not disturb. But I think we need to start seeing it as dead and dark. People are spiritually dead and they're spiritually in darkness. And as a result, we need to be willing to do something. I was sharing my message outline with my daughter, Mackenzie. I try to take one of my kids out to lunch every week. And so Mackenzie and I were having lunch this past Tuesday. And as we were talking and spending time together, one of the things I was talking about was what I'm sharing with you guys today. I was talking to her about my message and things that I was excited about. And she liked it. And she helped me a lot. I said, the only thing I can't figure out how to get across to God's people is how I will see a person and I know that they're giving me the do not disturb. But when I go to still reach out to them, what is that? And she said, oh, that's push to notify. You know? And I was like, that's exactly what that is. That's, I see that angel has put his phone on do not disturb, but I'm trying to message him and is telling me, giving me that option, do you want to push to notify him anyways? Yes, I do. You know? And so that's what I am asking God's people to do today. I'm asking you to look at people's spiritual condition as lost. We understand that, but see them as in need and be willing to push to notify. So right now we understand they're not feeling it, but we're the ones with light. We're the ones with understanding. We're the ones who care about their lost soul. And so we've got to do something about it. So we're willing to enter into that a little bit of a discomforting place. It can be, and disturb them just a little bit to get them to awaken to the reality of their situation and all that Christ has already accomplished for them so that they could experience his forgiveness, his freedom, his cleansing, his renewal, and ultimately the promise of eternal life in heaven. A completely different life here and a completely different destination eternally. I've been to two funerals in the last 2 days. Listen to me. You're gonna die. You're gonna die. I'm gonna die. The stats are really good on that. Like 100%. All of us at some point are going to die. Now, I'm not hanging that over your head to get you to twist your arm to be a member of this church or start seeing things the way I see it, although I think you should see things according to the lens of the Bible, not me, through the lens of Scripture, because your soul is created by God, but it has been infected with sin. And now there is the need for you. There's only one person, the man Christ Jesus, who is a mediator between you and God. There's only one person who's ever come and done anything about your situation. And he has all power in heaven and on earth to rescue you from your plight. And the plight that you are on, you probably know it, but maybe nobody's ever said it to you clearly, is destruction. You're headed to destruction until you turn and embrace Christ. The difference then in your life and the other person who doesn't know the Lord is you will know God as you live in this life. And you'll have his wisdom and you'll have his word lighting up your path as you go. So you're still going to experience the same tensions, the same problems, but your life is going to be completely different in how you respond to them and the purpose of them from here on changes. There's a purpose in everything than in your relationship with God. We could go on and talk more about that, But I think we need to start seeing that do not disturb that people give off as more of an opportunity to push to notify. All right, so what's the reaction of the world, though? Let's learn from this text to the way of Jesus Christ. It is, the first thing we're going to see in just a moment is Paul the Apostle's great missionary strategy on how he dealt with the state of the world. And then, secondly, we're going to see the way that the message of Jesus Christ disturbed the greedy people of the world, and how the way, I'm going to keep using that term, was falsely accused and attacked. And fourth, the way required great courage, but also wisdom. People of the way need courage and wisdom. And the way became the object of mob action, mob activity, we'll see in this city of Ephesus. And yet, the sixth thing I want to get across to us is that the way, or the people of the way, were miraculously protected by God. So here's the first thing I just want you to catch from this text. I want us to see something. Paul's great strategy. What was that? What was Paul's strategy then, and it would still be our strategy today? We're following the example of Paul the Apostle as believers. We're learning from him in his service to the Lord in ministry. His strategy, it's an E word, and not a lot of people like it. But folks, it's not going to change. It's evangelism. That is his strategy. His strategy is to share the message of Jesus Christ with people around the world, to as many people as possible. There's no particular status of people that he will not spend time with. All people, everywhere, are his goal to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So his strategy is evangelism. That's his heart. And it needs to be our strategy to reach this world in order to really see people's lives change, in order to see the kingdom of God expanded on this planet and in our town and our community through our church. Our strategy needs to be evangelism. It does. One-on-one, sharing the gospel with people in the ebb and flow of everyday life. Publix parking lots, Sam's Pizza, wherever we're at. You know, times with the kids at the playground, ball games, school classes, projects, give you an opportunity to share the gospel. Whatever these things might be, work, colleagues, all of these things. Looking for opportunities to introduce the message of Jesus Christ to lost people. Why? Why would we do that? Please understand this. Because lost people matter to God. That's why. God loves the world from the sense of he created it. Every man, woman made in his image and likeness. And Satan's sin and death have come in there and marred that relationship. And that is why God sent his son, is so that all people, if they would believe and place faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for what he's done for them, can be rescued from sin, rescued from death and destruction and all of that. So evangelism, telling people that, is still the strategy, okay? Look at what verse 21 says. Now, after these events, Paul resolved in the Spirit. So I want you to see that this is his hope. This is his desire, and that is his spirit, his mind, to pass through Macedonia and Achaia. So Paul wants to go over still. He's in Ephesus now. You could look back in your Bible maps and sort of get your bearings. He's in Ephesus now. That's modern-day Turkey. He wants to go over to Macedonia and Achaia. That was Greece, that peninsula there. And he wants to go there. He wants to visit those churches, Thessalonica, Berea, Philippi, previous churches that he's planted on his missionary journeys. And he wants to collect an offering from all of those churches because he wants to bring that offering to the poor in Jerusalem. The level of need had risen amongst the poor people in the church at Jerusalem during this time. And so Paul had been advancing the gospel. People were being saved, Gentiles of all kinds of statuses, all kinds of people. And so he wants to travel through those churches and give them that opportunity to support the church, the first church, the original church, all the way back in Jerusalem, a need that he knew was there. So he says, after I have been there, that is Macedonia and Achaia, I want to go to Jerusalem. And then he says, look at this, I must also see Rome. So he is just, this is his strategy. This is how he operates. I want to go, I'm in Ephesus now. Eventually I want to go to those churches and go see them. And then I want to go to Jerusalem, meet this need. And all the while, you know what Paul's doing. He's preaching the word. He's teaching the word. He's evangelizing one-on-one. But he has also, He has hopes. He has sort of desires in the Lord of where he wants to go and what he wants to do for the king, for King Jesus. And along the way, there's some practical things he wants to take care of. With his ultimate destination, I got to get to Rome. So he sees Rome as the capital of the world at this time as a strategic opportunity for the gospel. He wants to get the gospel at Rome so that then it can spread to the rest of the world through all the roadways and everything had been established, you know, in the Roman time. And then he says in verse 23, well, Luke does, about that time, there arose no little disturbance concerning the way. So he sends out Timothy, he sends out Erastus, he stays there in Ephesus for just a little while, and while he's staying in Ephesus, something starts to happen. He's been there 3 years. You guys know we talked about it. He's been just daily teaching disciples the word of God, and they've been spreading the gospel. There's been a lot of good stuff happening in this part in Ephesus, in the church there. And now begins to happen something, no little disturbance. So this great strategy that Paul had for world evangelization can be seen as I just walked us through all of that. Now just notice a significant point here. Paul's purpose was to evangelize. He did not forget to minister to churches and to send disciples. So here's the scene. He's in Ephesus, like I said, modern day Turkey, and he wants to get to Rome for Christ, but these churches at Jerusalem and throughout Judea are suffering, and he wants to help meet those needs. Here, let me get to some application for us. The call of the minister, so for me as a pastor, and of every individual Christian, all of us together, and a congregation, is to evangelize the lost and to edify the church, to build up the body of Christ, and to send out or send forth disciples. So evangelize, edify, and send out disciples. That is what we're to be doing. That's our calling. So all of these ministries are necessary. All of them must be done, and we can never forget this dynamic example of Paul. Rather, I think we need to follow his example, not just not forget, we need to follow his example. And I'm afraid that more and more churches today have adopted ministry methods and models, I'm always facing this temptation myself, that do not follow the biblical example for New Testament ministry that has been set by the Apostle Paul. He is our go-to. So study him, learn from him, follow his example. Paul had a personal zeal for Christian ministry. Do you have that? Do you have a zealousness, a zeal for serving Jesus Christ, for serving in the gospel's work? We are to have that same kind of zeal. And I want to give you sort of a picture of it. What does having zeal for and being personally committed to the work of the Lord look like today? I think here's a few characteristics I want to share with you. Here's the first one. It looks like bringing the helpless to Christ. Bringing the helpless, the ones who can't get, let's say, to church. We try to help get them there. The ones who can't hear the word of God because they're in some situation that they just can't get their hands on good understanding of the gospel, good understanding of scripture, good understanding of the truth. And so we seek to bridge that gap and bring the helpless into an encounter with Jesus Christ, into an understanding of who Jesus is and what he's done for them. You might remember in Mark 2:3, it says there, and they came, these friends, these helpers, bringing to Jesus a paralytic who was carried by four men. So it's just a reference for us to get the picture of what it looks like to bring helpless people to Jesus Christ. My wife still has this desire, we talk about it all the time, to get a vehicle or any of our vehicles to just on Sunday mornings go over here a couple neighborhoods off of Lipscomb and just tell everybody in the neighborhood, we'll be here Sunday at 9 a.m. to pick any kids up that want to go to church. And I already found out that they'd be fine with that. And so one of us just needs to do that. All right, or a few of us need to do it together maybe. And just go over there at 9 o'clock Sunday morning and just be willing to bring kids to church who would want to come here and be in our kids' ministry, and then we'll bring them back. We won't keep them, all right? We're going to bring them back. But these are just some examples of trying to get us to picture what it looks like to have a zeal for gospel ministry, have a zeal for it, a passion for it, bring the helpless to Christ. Another one would be to win members of your own household to Jesus. You have people under your roof that need your prayer, need your ministry. And those are individuals that to give you that picture of what it looks like to have a zeal for gospel work today, lead them to the Lord. Seek to introduce them to a personal relationship with Christ. Talk to them about these things. That takes zeal in your house. In your house, to be able to share the truth of God's word with members of your own household, leading them to Jesus Christ. John 1, 41 through 42 says, he first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which means Christ. And then he brought him to Jesus and looked at him and said, you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas. So just understanding here, when one brother found the Lord, he wanted his other brother to be introduced to the Lord. Same idea. Here's another one. Recommend Christ to your friends. Is this very practical for us? Just recommend. Look for ways. Just how you would recommend a movie. You'd recommend a good place to eat. You'd recommend things like that. Recommend to your friends, your personal friends, Jesus Christ. John 1 verse 45 says that Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote about, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So in other words, just recommend Christ to your friends. Hey, we have found a different way here of living, and I think you should look into it. I think you should consider this person, Jesus Christ. You know, there's been a lot said about him. There's been a lot written about him in ancient texts. Have you ever considered him? Have you ever looked into him? I recommend you get to know more about Jesus Christ. Guys, that's a great line. That's a great line. I recommend that you get to know more about Jesus Christ. That's a great thing to say, to share with people, that'll cultivate that zeal that God wants his people to have in gospel work, in the church, doing the ministry that we're all called to. Here's another one. Inspire others to the work. Like, we need to do that to each other sometimes. Just inspire each other to do the work of the ministry. I think we need this a lot, honestly. Just encouraging each other, complimenting each other, building each other up with this. Acts 11, 25 and 26 says, classic example, Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he, Barnabas, brought Saul to Antioch. And for a whole year, they met with the church and they taught a great many people. And it was in Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians. And how that all happened is because Barnabas inspired, kind of got the zeal of the great Paul the Apostle at a point in his life where he needed to be encouraged. And Barnabas brought that. Did you see the power right there of just inspiring other people to do the work of the Lord? You don't know where that's going to end up, man. It's always worth it to inspire someone else in their service to Jesus Christ, because the outcomes, man, they are kingdom oriented. Like what they're going to do, who they're going to become, you want to see that happen. We all want to see that happen. So we ought to inspire one another toward that. See, this is all cultivating that zeal. And that's what I want to try to do for our church as its pastor, is cultivate, stir up that zealousness for the Lord's work.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of Truth That Transforms with Pastor Bo DeFrena. We're so glad you've been with us. Perhaps some of the ideas you've heard today are a new concept. On the other hand, you might be well familiar with some of the thoughts shared. Whatever the case may be, we trust and believe that there are always new things to learn from what God wants to teach us. Pastor Bo will be back with more in our next edition. But before we go for today, we'd like to share a little more about who we are. Truth That Transforms comes to you from Trinity Church of Melbourne, located in Melbourne, Florida. To learn more about what we believe and to join us in person, here's our website, trinitychurchmlb.churchcenter.com. We offer services on Sundays at 10 a.m. We also offer a midweek service for the youth on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Come with a heart to grow, being open to how the Lord is leading, and there will be much to gain. Again, our website is trinitychurchmlb.churchcenter.com. If you'd like to send us an email for any reason, our email is info@mytrinitychurch.life. For a personal touch, you can also call us at 321-676-8992. One more time, that number is 321-676-8992. We're so glad you took the time to connect today. Pastor Bo will return next time as he continues to impart some important messages from God and His Word here on Truth That Transforms.
Well, I'm tired and so weary, but I must go along till the Lord comes and calls me away. Where the morning is bright and the Lamb is the light, and the night is as fair as the day. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley for me, oh Lord, I pray. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble I see. There will be peace in the valley for me. Well, the flowers will be blooming and the grass will be green and the skies will be clear and serene. Where the sun ever beams in this valley of dreams, and no clouds there will ever be seen. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley for me. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble I see. There will be peace in the valley for me. Well, the bear will be gentle and the wolf will be tame, and the lion shall lay down by the lamb, and the beast from the wild shall be led by a child, and I'll be changed from this creature that I am. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley for me, oh Lord, I pray. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble I see. Peace.